This is an oral history project, history of United States women. I'm doing an interview with Mrs. Kathleen Barclay Davis. We will be concentrating on World War II and her activities during that period. It's October the 2nd, 1995. This interview is being conducted at the home of Mrs. Davis, 1620 Palmetto Drive in Anniston, Alabama. The person doing the interview is Diane Price of 601 West 44th Street, Anniston, Alabama. Ms. Davis, would you like to start by just giving us a little background about yourself?
You're talking about family?
Family.
Well, I was born in Wilson, North Carolina. I was the only girl in a family of seven. I had six brothers, three older and three younger. And I was teased by my older brothers and picked on and all that kind of stuff, you know, that families do. And I always wish I had a sister. But until my brothers married, their wives were sisters to me. Being the only girl in the family, my father was really strict on me, you know, and tried to be sure that I stayed at home. I always envied some of the other kids because they were able to do some things that I was not able to do. I went to school at Town Creek, which is about a mile from home. We had to walk, you know, because it was such a short distance, but when I started going to Elm City, 3.5 miles away, they let me ride the bus, you know. That was real important, you know, being able to ride that bus, you know. And that's where I graduated. In those days, when I went to school, we only had 11 years to go. And as I entered high school, I had the option of going the 12th year. But so many times I wish I had, because they put in the commercial department, I could have taken type, and I thought, well, I'll get plenty of that in college. But I never did take type, and I'm awfully sorry that I did not. So I graduated with valedictorian of the class.
Good, that's great.
And went on to college at East Carolina. We used to call it East Carolina Teachers College. We call it ECTC, which later became a university. And majoring in mathematics and English. In those days and times, you didn't have specialties, you know, like biology and trig and those things. It was sort of a general type thing. And when I was going along, you didn't really have too many choices as a woman, you know. You was either a nurse or a teacher or typewriter, doing typing or commercial work. So we didn't have a lot of choices when I was coming along. But ever since I can remember, I always wanted to be a teacher, you know, so I didn't have that big a choice to make. And of course, when I was in East Carolina, it was about 1,100 students, so it wasn't a big college at the time. And I guess six out of seven were women, you know, so it was more or less a women's college. We didn't see too many going there, so we mostly women.
Is that because it specialized, like in teachers and
probably things? Because I think in those days and times, you know, men didn't go into teaching as much as they do now. More of a woman's role as far as teaching, unless you went into leadership roles, you know, as principal and things like that. So most of the teachers that I can remember when I had, you know, when I was in school were women teachers. I had one or two teachers that were men, but I guess because of profession, you know. And then I graduated, and that's when, you know, we heard about Pearl Harbor, you know, during that when they went into the service. And,
do you remember how you felt when you heard about that?
Well, I think everybody was kind of in a state of shock. We really didn't understand what was going on, you know. And I didn't know the impact of that or how bad it was, really, until much later when, you know, my son was living in Hawaii, you know, and we went there and saw so many people who were killed, you know. It really hit me between the eyes when I saw the films and the feedback on what had happened in those days. I didn't realize the severity of it, but it really woke us up, because the slogan in those days was "Remember Pearl Harbor." Because when you're attacked by foreign people, you know, you're ready to fight back. if they had asked for volunteers to go into the service to fight a foreign country, so to speak, we'd have had a hard time getting a good army together. But people were just eager to volunteer, and a lot of them were to go into the service. I remember a young man that I was dating. He didn't believe in war fighting at all. But as soon as the war was declared, he immediately signed up for the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And he had such a little training before they sent him out that it wasn't any time before something happened to his ship. Nobody ever knows what happened to it. It probably sunk by German bug, but nobody ever knows what happened to that ship. Everybody on it died. Nobody knows what happened to it. And he was a conscientious believer, it wasn't a shame or anything. He really believed that. He really felt that way about it. But it changed his mind immediately,
When that happened.
When that happened. And so many people in our community went into service, and just about every community you think about, every family had someone represented, So it was something we all had in common, I had six brothers. All my brothers were in service.
All right, what about your dad? He was at the age that he stayed at home, right?
My daddy was, we're talking about World War II.
Uh-huh. So he was already too old to go out for service.
Oh, yeah. But my brothers were in the late, I was 21 or 22, and you see, I had three older brothers and three younger brothers.
Uh-huh.
And they were right at the age to go. And my daddy was a farmer, and he tried his best to get one by one to be exempt, to be able to help him on the farm, but he was not able to do that. They were all drafted, three in the Navy and three in the Army. So at one time or another, at least one of those were in a danger zone. Some of them were in the Pacific part of the war, and some of them were in the Atlantic, in Europe. So luckily, though, none of mine were seriously injured. My oldest brother was the only one who was married at the time. And I guess he got the most of it. He was a building fell down on him when he was in England, during the bombing. And he was crushed a little bit, but he was lucky. He didn't, have any major injuries. So we were fortunate that way, but I do know that several young men in our community were killed, Of course, this boy, the young man I was telling you about, we don't know what ever happened to him. They didn't claim him legally dead until about 2 years later. Then they had a memorial service at our church. I remember that was really, I didn't go to it because I just didn't want to, I thought it bring back memories, so I just didn't go to it. I was in teaching in Warrington at the time, so I just didn't feel up to it. I don't know, but they say it was a very warm service.
Well, a lot of people at Lost Boys.
So
you were already teaching by the time Pearl Harbor was bombed. You had already started teaching by that time? Or was it right after that?
No, I was still in college.
You were still in college?
I was still in college. But a lot of my experiences, war lasted for several years, I was beginning to teach, during those years when we began to have rationing, and most of the men were out in service, so it was difficult, dating, because you didn't have a lot of men to do. But however, we did have dances where nearby, where it was an Air Force base at Goldsboro, and they'd have these dances, invite the women in to help in a time. And I remember spending a weekend with a friend who was teaching in Goldsboro, went out to one of these things and had a lot of fun. And then when I was in Warrington, they took a busload of us women, to go to a dance nearby, and we just danced with the fellas, just took a good time, because that's the kind of entertainment they had,
Were they just home on leave or just on furlough?
Some of them hadn't even been sent overseas yet. They just sent by, I don't think they were home on leave. I don't remember that much about it, but most of them, I think, were just not really gone overseas yet.
Maybe been in training or something
Maybe so.
Well, I bet they were tickled when the girls came to the dances.
Oh, yeah.
That was good recreation for them.
Because when they were in training, they didn't get a lot of opportunity for going home, and they didn't make much money, you know, and they couldn't afford to go home in, you know, a short period of time. It was just too far, you know. I think perhaps they were kind of strict on them, you know, during the training because of the, you know, the, they just wanted, you know, to be sure they were trained well, I guess. Well, I don't know that part of it, that, but.
You remember your, you mentioned that your dad farmed.
Mm-hmm.
Or did his activities change after the war started? Do you remember if any of his farming activity, the government had any
well,
say in, or did he change his production to?
I don't know. I do remember that help was hard to get in those days. I remember them going in, taking going into town to get some of the folks who were living there to come out and help, you know, some. But of course, he couldn't do as much work, you know. Of course, we raised tobacco for a living, and he couldn't raise as much tobacco, you know, because he couldn't take care of it, you know,
uh-huh.
because of the help involved.
Did he change like crops he grew, or did he stick with tobacco crops?
No, I remember he. From what I can remember, it's basically the same thing, but maybe not as much.
Not as much on the production level.
On the production level, because we couldn't take care of it. But I do know that they had to go higher here. When we were kids coming along, you know, we used to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
You'd help me put in the back of the day, and I'd help you put in the back of the mower, you know. But we didn't have to hire help. We just shared help together. But during that time, we had to go in and find help. And it was a rough time for everybody, you know. Because the boys were older and they were doing sacrifice, you know, in service, and at the same time we were at home doing, trying to do the same thing, you know. Because I don't remember a lot of complaints being made, because everybody thought they were doing the best. I do remember that we picked up iron, you know, and scraps of iron, you know, and to save, you know, to send off, and everything that we could thought that they could use, you know, we did those things, and the rationing, I remember.
Tell me a little bit about the ration. What was it? What
well,
was it like?
One of the things that they rationed was, I know sugar was rationed, and I don't remember missing that too much, but I remember when I was teaching in Warrington, I lived at a little hotel by there, and Mr. Wynn, who was the manager, would get in a box of chocolates, and mm-hmm. he'd always call, when we'd come in from teaching, he'd say, "Oh, I got you a chocolate bar." Whether we wanted a chocolate bar or not, we had to get that chocolate bar because he saved it for us, you know. So I probably ate as much chocolate then as I ever did because he saved it for us. We got first choice because we lived there. Uh-huh. And I remember nylons when I taught in Asheboro, which was a little bit later on. Nylons were hard to get, and they were much better nylons because they would have some kind of chemical that they don't use now.
Uh-huh.
And they'd last a long time, and you hardly ever see runs on them, you know. And we were told they used to make hose in Asheboro, and they used to tell us that, I was told that if you wet the nylons and put them on top of the refrigerator, they'd last a lot longer. You know, bring them out and everything, and we found that to be true.
Well,
it did something to the nylons that kept them, you know. Of course, it was a different type of material,
uh-huh.
the nylons, than what we had now. Much nicer, stronger materials.
But was it still sheer? And
oh, yeah, it was sheer, but it was just a different type of
uh-huh.
material. But, and of course, I've been told with different ones that they don't put the stuff in the nylons like they used to because they can't sell as much, you know, because
right.
it lasts so long. So
that makes sense, doesn't it?
It sure does, because they want to make money, you know, so they leave that chemical out. Where I roomed there in one of the houses, this man there owned a small business, and he used to tell me all this stuff about the nylons, you know.
Well, you talked about rooming in a little motel. Was it like just mostly women?
Well, it was really a hotel,
uh-huh.
you know. It was right in the center of town. See, Warrington was a very small place.
Uh-huh.
About 1,000 people, and I don't think it's not one person since then. They just believe in keeping it small. They don't want a lot of the industry in it and everything. They just like knowing everybody.
Hometown atmosphere.
But at that time, they didn't have a lot of people coming into town, so a lot of us teachers roomed. I roomed in a private home 2 years, but I lived in a motel 2 years, and I remember that they had a It said you could not cook in your room, but, you know, teachers in those days made even less than they do now. And we were not paid in the summertime, you know. A lot of people think that teachers are paid all year round. But what they do now, what they have done since I've been teaching, is to spread it out 12 months, you know. You don't get any more. You don't really get paid during the summer. It's just spread out. Mm-hmm. In those days, when I first started, it was not spread out, so it seemed like it was hard to spread it out, you know. You know, when you get money, you spend it, you know.
You have to save for the summer.
I know it, and it was hard to save some for the summer. But we were told not to cook in our rooms, but I remember I had a trunk in that, and we had electric frying pan and a coffee pot. And every time we'd go home for the weekend, our mothers would give us something to cook, you know. So we always fixed breakfast. And we knew the manager knew about it. He bound to have known about it. He never said anything to us. So we fixed our breakfast in there, and about 7 or 8 of us would come to our room and eat breakfast, drink coffee, and that. Because we just didn't have the money to buy food. We ate our evening meal there. But most of the time we eat our breakfast there, and of course we ate lunch at school, you know.